It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. As part of WPR's ongoing election coverage, we're featuring interviews with candidates on the 2018 midterm ballot. This week, we're talking with candidates for Wisconsin's 5th Congressional District. U.S. Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner represents that district now. He's a Republican who's represented this district since 1978 and is running for his 21st term. As a member of Congress, he serves on the Foreign Affairs and Judiciary Committees. His opponent in this election is Democrat Tom Pulsevich. Congressman Sensenbrenner, welcome to the morning show, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, John, thank you very much for having me. I look forward to having a good discussion.
Well, yeah. Well, let's start with this one then. You've spent most of your career in the House of Representatives. Why are you running for a 21st term?
Well, there are a lot of things that we still have left to do in this country, and it's important that Wisconsin have some seniority in the House of Representatives, particularly since Speaker Paul Ryan has announced his retirement and won't be back in the next Congress. I provide that seniority, and I have worked in a bipartisan way and have been effective. And some nonpartisan rating services have said that I rank very high in terms of bipartisanship and in terms of getting important bills passed into law. I think the most important thing that we can do under the jurisdiction of the committees that I am on is to continue the fight against opioid abuse. And we need to plug a loophole in our current criminal laws where there are no statutory criminal penalties against the importation and sale of fentanyl analogs, which in many cases are more deadly than fentanyl, which is a pretty deadly drug to begin with. So I want to go back to Washington. I want to work at dealing with this public health emergency that has struck practically everybody in some way or another, and to be able to get a handle on these overdoses and deal with education, deal with treatment of people who are addicted, as well as providing various antidotes to first responders.
You mentioned Paul Ryan stepping down. He's the Speaker of the House. How is this going to impact GOP leadership in Congress?
Well, we're going to have a pretty wild leadership election of those people who have been elected on November 6th. I would say that the current favorite is Kevin McCarthy of California, who is the current majority leader. However, unlike party positions like majority and minority leader in the whips organization, the speaker is elected by the entire House. And both McCarthy as well as Nancy Pelosi on the Democratic side, there are a number of candidates who have said that they would not vote for that candidate of their own party if they were elected. I would guess that the next House of Representatives is going to be very narrowly divided. And if neither McCarthy nor Pelosi can get 218 votes of all the representatives that were elected in November, then there's going to be a dark horse that is going to end up winning the Speaker's election.
So the Republicans in Congress have, let's talk about health care for a little bit. Republicans in Congress have made several attempts to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Is that still a priority?
Well, for me, it's a priority because the Affordable Care Act has not been affordable. People have seen premiums jump. Some people have been able to retain their doctors, but most of them have not been. And this goes directly against what then-President Obama promised when the Affordable Care Act was under debate in Congress about 8 or 9 years ago. I want to emphasize that every proposal to repeal and replace Obamacare protects people with pre-existing conditions. I'll qualify that. Proposals that have had serious discussion and serious debate. There are a couple of those that completely do away with the pre-existing conditions protections, but there is no proposal that I would support that does away with the pre-existing conditions exception, because practically everybody has gotten sick from about the age of 5 on, and we should not let insurance companies use that as an excuse to deny coverage.
Let's talk about the budget, because that's certainly a huge item that Congress has to deal with. Recently, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said that the only way to lower the federal deficit would be to cut social safety net programs like Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Is that something you'd be willing to accept?
Well, let's define cut the way cut actually works. Nobody, including Senator McConnell, are proposing actually reducing benefits below what they are now. What the proposal is to reduce the growth rate of benefits. And that is going to be really essential, because as more and more baby boomers retire and more baby boomers live longer, we are going to see the cost of these social safety programs balloon. And pretty soon we're not going to have much money to do anything else besides pay for the social safety programs. So, you know, I keep on telling people that, you know, if we really want to continue having support for programs like Medicare and Social Security of younger people, the younger people are going to have to be assured that there will be something left for them compensate them for the huge amount of taxes that they will be paying into the program during their working years. So how this is resolved is important, not only for the older generation, where I will repeat, nobody is saying that we ought to cut that. We just ought to slow the growth rate down, and the younger generation that is paying for it.
Let's move to another topic. The last Congress left behind a lot of unanswered questions on the topic of immigration. As a result, that issue will likely be front and center when next Congress convenes. Both parties agree that something needs to be done, but there's a lot less agreement on what that should actually look like. What would be your approach?
Well, I tried to do something back in 2005 and 2006, and had I succeeded in that, there are a lot of people that said we wouldn't be talking about this issue now. What we need to do is, number one, secure the border, and that's going front and center with this caravan that is moving through Mexico now. Number two, we have to turn off the magnet that draws people across the border, and that is bad employers breaking the law to hire illegal immigrants and pay them in cash under the table, and they violate, you know, a dozen or so laws, but as long as they're able to get away with it, they keep on doing it. And the third thing is to never, never, never grant amnesty to illegal immigrants. Back in 1986, there were even political liberals of the day, like Father Hesburgh, late of Notre Dame University, that said if we give amnesty to illegal immigrants, we will only encourage more illegal immigration. President Reagan signed the amnesty bill. Reagan was wrong. Father Hesburgh was right on this. And we had between 3 and 3.5 million illegal immigrants at the time. Now we have somewhere between 11 and 20 million illegal immigrants. My fear is that if we get amnesty in another 20 years, we're going to have another immigration crisis with 40 million illegal immigrants here. And our country cannot support that economically. We do need to address the issue of labor shortages in this country. And the way to do that is to reform legal immigration, to allow people who work in various industries like agriculture, temporary visas so that they can come and work and keep the economy going and keep affordable food on our table. But that doesn't mean it should be at the cost of amnestying millions of people, because it's wrong if you broke the law, and it's wrong if you have the amnesty people jump ahead of those that have applied for legal immigration status to jump ahead of them in line.
We've talked about a lot of topics, and you've worked a lot on, we mentioned the Opioid Abuse Reduction Act, which you worked on. What else are you working on that you think is really vitally important to members, citizens of the 5th District?
Well, I think the so-called SOFA Act, which we've talked about earlier, which basically criminalizes the fentanyl analogs, that has got to be the top issue. Because if we crack down on regular fentanyl, you're just going to see the drug cartels and the pushers push the analogs. And they're more deadly than fentanyl, which is deadly. Now, the other thing I think we have to work on is school safety. And there the federal government can provide money, but the decisions on how to implement that will have to actually be done by locally elected school boards. Finally, we're having unprecedented prosperity. You know, we've got more jobs available than they're unemployment, than they're unemployed, both in Wisconsin and nationally. That's good, and we're now beginning to see increases in take-home pay. You know, that's the kind of prosperity that benefits everybody, not just people in the 5th District, but all throughout our country. And we ought to keep that moving by making the tax cuts permanent and making sure that we don't go back and re-regulate the profit out of American manufacturing. That's regulating the profit out of American manufacturing is basically the other side's outsourcing program, where American jobs get outsourced to places like China and India.
Congress seems to grow more polarized after each election. If reelected, how would you work with your colleagues across the aisle?
Well, the problem is that a lot of these independent groups that are flooding the TV with ads like to be the ideological police, both against Democrats and Republicans who attempt to reach bipartisan solutions. So reaching across the aisle is something that doesn't have to be publicized, but has to be done. And I'm one of the people that's done it. The Comprehensive Addiction and Reduction Act, where I was the principal House sponsor of, that was reaching across the aisle. The Voting Rights Act reauthorization was reaching across the aisle. But I wasn't batting my gums on cable TV announcing that that was what I was doing. I was just spending my time getting the thing done, getting the votes to pass the bill, and then getting the Senate to move on something, which isn't the easiest thing in the world to do, to get the bill passed through the Senate and put on the president's desk.
Congressman, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us this
morning.
Thank
you very much. Have a good
U.S. Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner represents Wisconsin's 5th District. And I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.